This song, I Bless Your Name. I bless your name, I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, oh, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to sing, and their chains were loose, and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you my praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. And I bless your name. Oh, I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and praise, defy those chains, and they will fall. In Jesus' name, what a promise. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. Oh, I give you my praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. And I bless your name. I bless your name. Sing it with all your heart. Oh, I bless your name. I bless your name. And I give you honor. Oh, I give you my praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Mercy rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life. For I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but your mercy rewrote my... Are you happy for that this morning? God's mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. For I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy, it rewrote my life. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, I love you, adore you. I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Oh, you lead me, you guide me. You're dwelling inside me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. And Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Just tell him how much you love him. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you. I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Let's all stand. Let's sing that little chorus, He is here, as our brother gets ready to come this morning. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless his name again. Oh, he is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never. Oh, sing it with all your heart this morning. Oh, he is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless his name again. Oh, he is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here, and you can touch him. You will never be the same.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Because he did promise that he would be here. Amen. Where there's two or three gathered in his name, he said, there I will be in the midst. Amen. So I thank him for that. We appreciate the Lord. We thank you all for the prayers that were sent forth, amen, for Brother Royal and of course, you know, as most of you all know, the Lord took him home, and so many people around the world they prayed, but God ultimately had his perfect will done, and you just continue to pray for his family, continue to pray for the church. Got many decisions and I'm sure things that they have to decide upon here in the next several months. But you just pray for strength for Sister Cynthia, Sister Chichi, as many know her, their daughters. I believe that they may be watching in right now and some of the people from the Philippines. But it was just a privilege to have gotten to know Brother Royal. Amen. And not just that, but just to work alongside with him. And just some of the thing, just one of the things that I always enjoyed about Brother Royal is just his humility. And that always grabbed your attention. And not only that, but that he was so friendly to anybody. He would always get down to their level. No matter if it was a little kid, no matter if it was an adult, and the fact that he was just so easy to get along with. So we just thank God for his life, and Definitely. I was coming here and I was listening to that song, There Is a Land That I'm Longing For, Though I've Never Seen It Before. I've got loved ones over there waiting on that shore. Amen. And it's not a million miles away, but on some far off distant, or on some far off distant way. But I'll speed up and they'll slow down. And there is a land. Amen. So they're not far away somewhere, you know, they're just right here amongst us, just in another dimension. And I believe that with all my heart. So, they're just listening in and kind of telling us, come on, let's keep going, keep moving. Amen. This thing's just about done. And, we just thank God for that. Praise the Lord Jesus. I don't want to keep you all standing too long. So, let's just go ahead and go to the word of the Lord. We're going to read from John chapter 15, John chapter 15. And I want to continue on what I started a few weeks ago, about a week or two ago, on advancing God's kingdom by fulfilling the law of Christ. And this is part two. And, so let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity that you have given us, Lord, to gather together in your name, Lord. We thank you, Father, for, Lord, all that you are doing, Father God, everything that you've done and all that you will do, Lord. Sometimes, Father, even though we don't understand the things that you allow or permit in our lives, but Lord God, they're for our own good, Lord, because you said, Father, in your word, that all things work together for good to them that love God. And Lord, we just, thank you, Father, for the privilege, Lord, that we have, that we can have confidence in you, Father, in this hour, knowing that you know all things. Lord, bless your word now, Father, as we're getting ready to open back the pages of it. Lord, we ask that you would just anoint it, Lord. Help us to say something that would edify the people, Lord, and that you would be glorified, Lord Jesus. And help us, Lord, give us a revelation, understanding, Father, from your word. For certainly, Lord, we are living in the last days, Father. And Lord, how much, Father God, that we're living in the last days, how much more, Lord, we should come together, Lord God, in unity, Lord, amongst each other. Lord, as your little bride, Lord Jesus, just as the body, Lord God, works together, Father. And you, Father, being the head, Lord, we have a head, Father, physically on our bodies, and it all functions together, Lord God. There's not one pulling in one way, not another part pulling another way, but Lord God, it all works together. And when one, Father God, is damaged, Lord, the rest of the body hurts, Father. And so, Lord Jesus, we just pray, Father, that you would help us to have that mindset, Lord, that what we do, Father God, against you, Lord God, maybe we think we may be doing it, Lord, on our own, nobody else knows, but Lord God, ultimately it hurts the body, Lord. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, to help us to be mindful of these things. We just commit this time now into your hands. Bless those, Lord, that are sick and continue to strengthen their bodies. Lord, we thank you for the good reports that we've been hearing. And we just appreciate, Lord God, what you are doing now. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just read John chapter 15. Started at verse 8. It says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Amen. So you want to be a disciple of the Lord, you bear fruit. You have to bear fruit. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." And then he says here, "Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." Notice how he continues talking about love. "Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." Verse 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another." He didn't say it was his suggestion, but he said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." I mean, you think about that. Are you willing to do that? Can Can you love so much? Can you love the brotherhood, the sisters, so much that you are willing to lay down your life for him, for them? Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. This is Jesus speaking. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Amen. And then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Amen. In the contemporary English version, that says, you obey the law of Christ when you offer each other a helping hand. Amen. So that's what we've been discussing here, is the law of Christ. Amen. We last time when we were talking about the commandments, and how God in His commandments in the Old Testament, when He gave forth His commandment, He talked about love within His commandments, and we're just kind of just go over here just a little review for those that may have missed what we talked about. But and if you read in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 9 through 14, we won't read it all, but in verse 12, it says that in the last days, because of iniquity, amen, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Amen. In other words, it'll dwindle. It'll dwindle. And we're seeing that today. Amen. I mean, we've been seeing it for years, but we see it even more and more. Amen. The love of many shall wax cold because of iniquity abounding, because of so much sin abounding. Amen. And we talked about what iniquity was, and what it is gross immorality or injustice or wickedness. Amen. The condition of one without law or lawlessness. And it's certainly getting to that point. Amen. In the day and time that we are living in. I mentioned last time, you know, you don't even have to even look in the news to see the lawlessness and the attitude that people have taken in this day and time. And it's certainly the spirit of Laodicea. My rights, it's about me being happy. I don't care what you think. It's about me being happy. My body, my choice, you know, and all these things. Amen. And so, That's the type of age that we are living in now. Amen. It doesn't matter what you do. Don't matter what you think about me. It's what I think. It's what I, and that's what I'll do. And so it's a form of selfishness. Amen. People don't live for each other anymore. They care for what they can get for themselves. And so, Brother Branham, he talked about what iniquity was, and part of, Four things that he mentioned, and you read these things through quotes. One of the things he mentioned about iniquity is that it has a hypocrisy involved in it. Amen. Because Brother Brandon says here, and you know that God's word is right, why do you play the hypocrite? Amen. Another attribute of iniquity is blatant disobedience. Brother Branham says here, see, and it's right before you that you shouldn't do it, but yet you still do it. Amen. People don't care nowadays. It doesn't matter to them, amen, what you say or what the word of God says, what even their parents told them, taught them when they were growing up. Amen. It doesn't matter anymore. It's just what I can get out of life. Pride, and another attribute of iniquity, pride and self-centeredness. Amen. When you know your creeds are wrong and you still hold to it. Amen. You can show somebody that they're wrong, even from the word of God, and they'll still won't acknowledge it. That pride won't let them see or let them humble themselves. Amen. Because of an iniquity. And then another attribute of iniquity is that it begins in the heart, and eventually it manifests outwardly. So yeah, iniquity doesn't just start, you don't start just being, you know, iniquitous. I guess you could say that. Amen. It begins from the heart. It's things that you start thinking about. It's things that you start meditating and pondering. Amen. It was Korah and Dathan when Moses was bringing them out of the children of Israel out of Egypt. And even probably as they were coming out of Egypt, Korah and Dathan were already starting to think, who is, who's this Moses, you know, that, you know, started trying to lift themselves up a little bit, you know, and say, well, God just doesn't bless Moses. God just doesn't go work through Moses, but God can also work through us as well. You see, and all that just started lifting up. Eventually it turned into iniquity. And we know where eventually Dathan and Korah ended up. Amen. So that is iniquity, and it starts in the heart. Amen. And so we see that the love of many shall wax cold. Amen. Iniquity will be abundant in this day. There's plenty of iniquity, but and the love of many will dwindle, not completely go away. It says the love of many shall wax cold. Doesn't mean that it'll completely go away, but to many it will dwindle. And then when you look at that word there, love is the word agape, which is the love of God. Amen. Less and less we see in the love of God. When God is calling us for love and unity more in this hour, we allow the externals, amen, to let that love dwindle from one another. Now that is God's fault. That's our fault. Amen. So we should watch that, especially as the bride of Christ. Amen. We should be in unity. We should be in love and harmony. Amen. Maybe we don't agree with everything. And you might have a different opinion than I do. But even yet, amen, the word of God is the common ground that we have. The message of the hour is where we can all put our faith and trust and rest upon. Amen. If you think that you can, just because somebody doesn't agree with you politically or doesn't see a worldview that you see, amen, doesn't mean that you have to hate your brother or hate your sister. Amen. Amen. This is what should put us, amen. This is our common ground. Amen. It's the word of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then there's many times, but we read different quotes where Brother Branham talked about the love of many waxing cold. He said something here. We got plenty of teaching, plenty of churches, but we need a love of God. Amen. So we have plenty of that. Amen. But the love of many are still waxing cold. Why? Because we allow the things of this life. We allow other things to grab more of our attention. And to take hold of our hearts instead of the word of God taking hold of your heart. And when the word of God takes hold of your heart, which is Him, amen, your love should increase. Amen. The love of God, the agape love should increase in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now I'm just reviewing again. You just bear with me. Amen. Brother Bram said that there's no feeling nowadays, you know, no feeling, no trust. I mean, we don't trust anybody. There's no affection for love anymore. Amen. And then we read there in John 15:10, where Jesus said, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." Amen. And so we talked about how in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments were given. We read in Exodus chapter 20. And in verse 6 it says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." So love was part of the original commandments of God. Amen. And then Jesus comes along in Mark chapter 12, and we won't read it all, but there a scribe came to him and asked him, "Lord, what is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus told him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all." Well, actually, verse 29 says, "And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And then he continues and says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength." Amen. Then he says here, "And the second is like namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And then he says, "There is none other commandment greater than these." He didn't give him, you know, "You shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not bear false witness," or anything like that. He said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these," that he was talking about. So love is the greater commandment. But in order for you to have that love in you, amen, in order for you to express that love, you've got to have the love in you. In the form of the Holy Ghost, in the form of the new birth. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, then we started reading there in John chapter 13. Now I want us to pay attention there to John chapter 13, because in reading John chapter 13, my goodness, if you just pay close attention, attention to it. It really, the events that took place there, just so tight this day. The things that we are seeing in this day, the apostasy, the humility yet that Jesus was showing. And we talked about how there in verse one, how Jesus knew, amen, that he was going to be glorified, that God glorified, that God had given him everything. Amen. And then we read on where Jesus, in verse 2, it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus." So see, now it's starting in Judas, amen. Satan put it in his heart to betray Jesus. Put it in his heart, amen. So Satan comes in little by little. He'll come in maybe by a saying. There'll be a saying. And then eventually it'll turn into a doing. And then eventually, if we're not careful, it'll get to our minds and we're just completely, that is what we believe. And we are seeing that in this, the day that we're living in. Amen. How Satan has come in so, sly and has dwindled that love, amen, that we have, that we should have for one another. Amen. Jesus, amen, knowing that he knew, if you read in verse 3 there in chapter 13, Jesus knew he had come from God and would go back to God. He also knew that the Father had given him complete power. And yet, there later on in a few verses, he gets down and humbles himself and washes the disciples' feet. Man, what an act of humility. Amen. What an act of not being self-centered. Amen. The him knowing what he was, yet he got down to wash the disciples' dirty feet. Amen. I've always said, and when I go to the field, mission field, is the greatest act of humility or the greatest preacher that had ever existed, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he got down to wash the disciples' dirty feet. Amen. Sometimes us as ministers, we want to get heady. We want to get, you know, we want somebody else to wash our feet. You know, we want somebody else to do things for us. We, you know, cause we're a minister, but a real minister, the word minister means one that serves. And the greatest minister that ever lived was Jesus Christ. Greatest teacher that ever lived was Jesus Christ. And yet he got down to wash the disciples' dirty feet. And he wasn't asked to do that. The disciples didn't ask him to do that. He just did it on his own. Amen. Why? It was a lesson for us. Not just for us to do it here, you know, when we come to church once a month, but it was for a general lesson for all of us for everyday living. Amen. To live your life for one another. Amen. It's not just about you. Amen. But it's about the others around you as well. Amen. Praise God. We talked about how what humility means is the state of character, being humble, freedom from pride, arrogance, lowliness of mind, a low estimate of oneself, self-abasement. Amen. That's humility. It's one thing I could say definitely about Brother Royal Soriano. Amen. He was just that way. He didn't think anything great of himself. Yet he was so well known, but yet he didn't even know that people knew and were so touched by his ministry. He didn't even think anybody was being touched by his ministry and his life and his dedication and his sacrifice. And he's touched many lives. Amen. That's how we should be. Amen. You want to touch someone's life. Amen. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. People will look at that. Amen. And then just still reviewing here. You can just continue to read that there in John chapter 13. Amen. Let's just start there in verse 18. And the brothers could bring up verse 18. Amen. And we'll start here. Amen. Jesus continues. He says here, "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled." Watch what the reason why he does this. "But that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, we know that Judas, amen, he ate with Jesus, but did not eat Jesus. Because Jesus at one point, you know how he said, I am the bread of life. And if you eat me, you shall live eternally. Amen. Many people ate with Jesus. Many people dined with Jesus. Even Simon, the Pharisee, even some of those Pharisees, they invited Jesus to eat with him, but they ate with Jesus, but they did not eat Jesus. In other words, they did not take advantage of what he was trying to really give. Amen. The food that he was really trying to give. Amen. And so Jesus knew, amen, who he had chosen there in that room where he was at with the disciples. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Jesus had no other purpose in this life when he came here on earth but to fulfill the word of God. And that is that should be the desire and that should be the heart and our mindset here on earth as sons and daughters of God. It's to fulfill the word of God. Amen. Amen. To fulfill his word. In other words, to keep his commandment. Amen. And so in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6, it says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Amen. You received the word for your day. You received the word for your hour and you reject it. You leave it aside. Amen. For something else, for your own opinion, for your own, amen, your own iniquity overtakes that. Amen. There is nothing else that God can do for you. Amen. It's hard. Amen. Like in verse 6 there, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. It's hard for them, for people like that. Amen. They have taken on a spirit such as that to even repent again for what they did. Amen. They're so hardened now. Amen. They're so hard. But it's impossible for those that have been, who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Ghost, to fall away. Amen. Then just think about that. To really have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, the Bible said the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us unto all truth. Now, when someone supposedly tasted of the Holy Ghost, amen, to then fall away, God is not an Indian giver. God doesn't lose those that are his. Amen. So you take that for what it's worth. Amen. But we're seeing that a lot in the hour that we're living in. People who we thought were just, you know, firm and will, you know, been in this message for 40 years or more. And then we hear that they're falling away, that they don't believe this word anymore. Amen. How can you not believe that God sent to us a prophet in this day when the word of God, amen, talks about a prophet coming in this end time? Then pray tell me who it is. If it's not the prophet that God sent us in this day. Amen. Somebody's got to fulfill Malachi chapter 4. Somebody's got to fulfill Revelation, the angel that was in Revelations chapter 3 for the angel of Laodicea. Somebody's got to fulfill that. Somebody's going to fulfill Revelation chapter 10 verse 7. Amen. Where it talks about in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Who is that then? If it isn't the prophet that God sent in this day, his ministry, the way it went and the way it went so closely knit together to the ministry of Moses, Elijah and the word, then who is it? And we're still waiting for them then. But you see, we're not. Those that were enlightened, amen, really have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you to all truth. Amen. Praise God. And so, all right, so let's read verse 19 there in John chapter 13. Now watch what Jesus says here. Now just pay close attention and put yourself in this scene. All right? Put yourself in this scene. Pretend that you were there watching the disciples and Jesus there eating together. Amen. Because Jesus had a full purpose of what was going on there in this scene. Now I tell you, before it come, that when it is come, when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am He. Amen. So Jesus was warning them already, the disciples there was warning them already of the apostasy that was getting ready to take place. Just as the Word has forewarned us of the apostasy that was to take place in this our day. Amen. We read that in First Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. I appreciate Brother Joe back there helping out with these scriptures. Amen. First Timothy chapter 4. Look, just as Jesus forewarned the disciples, look at Timothy forewarning us. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and watch in doctrines of devils. That it says that in the latter times, are we living in the latter times? In the latter times, some, not all, but some shall depart from the faith, amen, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, amen. Watch verse 2 there, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared, with a hot iron. You know, when you sear something, amen. It's flat, you know, or it's, you know, you sear meat, you know, it stays that way now, you know. It's flat, it's, you see. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, and that is one of the key things that you'll notice some of these people leaving the message. I'm just gonna just be blunt, amen. Some of the people just leaving the message, amen. They start speaking things out of the Word, taking things out of context. Amen. So that it can fit their own agendas. Amen. That's what Timothy is talking about. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. But having their conscience seared. My goodness. In other words, no, they believe that they are so right about what this newfound thing that they just found. Because to them, leaving the message is freedom. They feel so free and they feel so, I was so bound for so many years and now I'm free, especially the women. I mean, you have websites out there dedicated to women that were freed from the message and they give testimony of how free I am now. And when you look at their pictures, you know, they look like lesbians now. They're all tattooed up and half painted hair and stuff like that. Where's the freedom in that? You know? And just because you had one bad experience in your lifetime doesn't mean that the rest of the message or the rest of the people that serve God and that love this message lived that way. I know that there's bad apples out there. Amen. I know that there's bad ministers who are just so dogmatic and legalistic and just knocking people upside the head with the Word of God. And you better serve, you better love the Lord and you better do this, that, and the other. Amen. You're never going to get anybody to serve God with all their heart when a minister comes out that way. They'll do it for a time. They'll do it out of fear. And that, I believe that that's what has happened in the last 40 years that we've been in the message. Amen. Ministers, preachers, not all of them. There's been some really good ones out there that really know the balance of the Word. But there's been some bad apples. But that doesn't mean the message is wrong. That means their deliverance was wrong. That means their approach to it was wrong. Maybe the revelation that they had of it was wrong. But doesn't mean that the Word of God is wrong and that the prophet, the message that the prophet sent to us, amen, or gave us in this day by the Holy Spirit, amen, is wrong. And it isn't. Amen. So you can't throw out, like they say, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen. Praise God. All right, let's continue reading John chapter 13, here in verse 20. Now watch. Verily, Jesus still speaking, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now it's very interesting because in verse 19 he says, now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. So in other words, he's forewarning them of the apostasy. And then he comes in and talks about, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. Now why would he say something like that? Amen? Because remember in one place, Jesus says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Amen? He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Amen. So, in other words, amen. You receive those that God sent. You recognize that that is a man of God, or receive, we're talking about the prophet for our day, amen. You recognize that ministry wasn't Brother Branham's ministry. It wasn't his own ministry. It was the ministry of God through him. Amen. It wasn't Brother Branham's message. It was the message of God, amen, to Brother Branham. Brother Branham could not restore the word back to us that it had been eaten down throughout all the ages. He could not have done it by himself. It had to be in God to do that. But because the Bible says that in Amos 3:8, that he will not do anything unless he shows it first to his servants, the prophets. Amen. Amen. So he must and he has to use a prophet. He's got to use an individual. Amen. And you will receive a benefit, or you will receive a reward if you receive that whomsoever he sends you. Because if you receive him, amen, you receive the word he's saying, you receive him, and then eventually you're receiving the Father, as Jesus says here. He that receiveth me, Jesus being their messenger for their day, receives the Father. Amen. Receives the one that sent him. I hope that you're understanding what I'm trying to say with that. It's just very interesting that that is in there. Amen. That verse is in there. Then in verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. After he had said that, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you. When Jesus says verily, verily, that means absolutely, absolutely, for sure. I'm saying to you that one of you shall betray me. One of you. It wasn't somebody that was outside of the room that they were in, or one of the Pharisees will betray me. No, one of you will betray me. Amen. You know, saints, the ones that will sadden you the most are the ones that are closest to you. Your own family members are the ones that will sadden you the most. And it was the same with Jesus. Amen. It was one of his that he chose himself, that he picked, and that he gave power. And you read in Matthew chapter 10, he gave power to all the disciples, including Judas, to cast out devils, heal the sick, and all preach. But none of that, amen. Judas was justified, sanctified, but never got to the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he let Satan start working in his heart. Verse 22, then the disciples looked at one another, doubting of whom he spake. Now here's Jesus telling them, one of you will betray me. And the disciples are looking at one another. What? One of us? What? Because Judas was so like them, was so much like them, and that they wouldn't even realize or think that it was Judas. There would be Judas. You see, saints, we've been fellowshipping with all these brethren and all these people that have left the message for years. Gone to fellowship meetings with them, had meetings with them, and shook their hands, hugged their necks, heard them preach, and do all that. And you would never have thought that it would be one of them to eventually leave this word. That's exactly what's happening in this hour. And so that's the reason why we looked at one another. What? He did what? She did what? That's what the disciples are doing when Jesus said, one of you will betray me. They're like, what? And then now it should start causing something in you. Lord, I hope it's not me. I hope it's not me. Amen. It should send the holy fear in you. Amen. Amen. Lord, I don't want to betray you. I don't want to betray you. Now, I'm just wondering if Judas was looking with them, you know. He probably was. He probably maybe looked at Peter and said, you know, knowing what he was already working in his heart. You see how sly people can be when Satan is working in their heart? Total hypocrites, just mind seared. And they'll just play the part so easily, and you will miss it so easily. And this is what's happening here in this chapter. Amen. The one that was to betray Jesus was so intertwined with the disciples that they couldn't figure out who it could be that Jesus was talking about. Amen. It reminds me of the parable, amen, of the wheat and the tares. Amen. And Brother Joe, if you could bring that Matthew chapter 13. We'll just read this real quick here. In Matthew 13, it's at verse 24, he says here, and it's interesting that this is Matthew chapter 13, just like John chapter 13. Amen. I don't think that's a coincidence. Another parable, verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. We're talking about a kingdom. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Who was the one that put that into Judas's heart? It was Satan. The enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Amen. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? In other words, Lord, didn't you sow good seed in this field? Amen. Why is there tares? Why is there weeds then? Verse 28, he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. Amen. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? In other words, they were asking him, should we go ahead and just pluck out those weeds? Now watch what Jesus says here in this parable. He said, nay. In other words, no. Lest while ye gather up the weeds or the tares, ye also root up the wheat with them. So, leave them alone. Watch. In verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. Right? And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together the first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Now, Brother Joe, I don't know if you've got these pictures. I sent you two pictures. The first one. And you can go back. I believe I preached the message back in 2016 called Put In or Put On, where I talked about the wheat and tares. Kind of went deep, and you can go back and listen to that. But this is wheat. And that is a tare. That is a plant. What is the name of that plant? It's called the darnel weed. And that weed, that plant grows alongside with the wheat in the field. And it looks just like wheat. And it's so easy to not be able to tell them apart because they look alike. And so the next picture, the difference between ripened wheat and tares. Amen. I know that's not a big picture, but one of the differences is wheat produces white seeds. And while tares, this darnel weed, produces dark poisonous seeds. Wheat, one of the other characteristics is that wheat bows when it's ripe. Amen. When wheat is ripe, amen, it bows. See how it's bowing? It bows. Well, when darnel weed or tares, when they come to their maturity, they stick straight up. Amen. They're proud and they're haughty. And I mean, don't we see that today? These people that left the message, amen, they are just so proud and so lifted up now. Amen. You can't tell them anything. And every time you might want to say something or be not, amen, they lift themselves up, you know. I'm not calling them terrors. I'm just saying that by their fruit you shall know them. Let the word, amen. Let the word say what they are, amen. I believe God has a chance, amen, for them. But if they never repent, if Satan has truly entered into their hearts, amen, there's no way to renew those people back, amen. But that's characteristics, amen. So when a child of God, amen, the more of the word of God that you get, the more humble it should make you, amen. That's true wheat, amen. That's why we bow. The more humble it should make us. Amen. And then, darnel weed or tares, amen, they stick out. They stick out amongst the wheat. And then another characteristic is that wheat is golden in color and attracts. Your life should attract others around you. Amen. It should not detract, but it should attract. Amen. Not necessarily by the things we say, not necessarily by the things we do, amen, but our life, amen. Amen. Do we attract one another? Do we attract others or do we detract them? Amen. I want to attract people, amen. Amen. And of course, tares, amen, they're darker in color. Darker in color compared to the wheat. Amen. So that you can go back and you can even do a search online and even look at more pictures of what tares and wheat look like, and they look just alike. That's why it was so easy that's why Jesus was saying, don't pull them up together. Don't pull them up together. Wait until they come to maturity, because in trying to pull them up together at a young stage, you'll easily pull out the true wheat as well. So, but let them come to maturity. In other words, let them show their colors. Jesus knew the whole time that when he chose Judas, that he would be the son of perdition. He knew that the whole time, but he never made a fuss about it. He just left it alone and waited to that here in John chapter 13, where Judas finally showed his colors. See? Waited to the moment where he would eventually do what was really in his heart to do. Just leave people alone. You can't argue with them. You can't try to sway them back. If they're set in their heart that that's what they want to do, there is nothing that you and I can say, amen, that will convince them. Because if the word doesn't convince them, amen, then you and I cannot. Amen. We will show them the word. If they come to us and ask us questions, we should be willing to give them answers. But don't be upset and don't get discouraged that you cannot sway them to the way of thinking of the word. Amen. If it's not the word that does it, if it's the Holy Spirit that doesn't sway people, amen, that doesn't bring people back to the word of God, then you and I, there's nothing you and I can do. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, in verse 23 in John chapter 13, continuing here. So after Jesus said that, in verse 22, then the disciples looked at one another, doubting of whom he spake. And then verse 23 says, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. At that moment, when Jesus was talking and they were eating and they were fellowshipping, there was a disciple that was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Now, if you study this closely, it has to be John. John was the one that was leading John's humility was so great that he didn't even mention his name in there. And there's other instances where John's humility, amen, the Holy Ghost had taken so much of it in his life, amen. He was writing the word, but he never mentioned his name. Amen. You're almost leery of people, amen, who write books about the message and things like that, and they got their names plastered all over it. Amen. Written by Pastor so-and-so, you know, John, you know, amen. When it should be, amen, God gets the credit, amen. Their name is bigger than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You almost wonder what are they trying to portray? But it wasn't so with John. John, being part writing the word of God that we read today, he says here, amen, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. He left it as that. Verse 24, Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom Jesus spake that was going to betray him. So Peter was like, hey, you're leaning on Jesus. Go ahead and ask him. Ask him, you know. And so that's what Peter is telling him. Man, why don't you just go ahead and ask him? See what you can get out of him. So in verse 25 it says, he then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Amen. I like that he then lying on Jesus' breast. Amen. Because you're not going to get anything from God unless you're close to his breast. Unless you are feeding off the breast of El Shaddai, the breasted one. Amen. You won't receive anything from it. But if you hardly come to church, if you hardly read the word, if you hardly pray, you're not going to receive from God. Amen. You're not going to get, amen, what you want if you can't even do the simple things as to lean on Jesus' breast. Praise God. And because Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you shall find. Jesus gives him an answer. In verse 26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. Now a sop is a piece of food. Whom I shall give a piece of food to when after I have dipped it. And when when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, we don't know if Jesus did this right away after he had answered. Amen. Jesus did not even say his name. Jesus did not even say that it's Judas. Did not even say his name. Amen. All Jesus did was pointed out using the food that they were all eating together. Pointed out with the food that they were all eating together. Amen. And isn't that how it's been? Amen. Throughout the years. Amen. God has pointed them out, amen, by the food that we've all been eating together throughout all the years, amen, this same word, this same message, amen, but eventually, amen, Jesus points them out. By their fruit you shall know them, amen, because the word will eventually point them out, praise God. In verse 27 it says, and after the sop, watch this, and after the sop, after that piece of morsel, that morsel of food, Satan entered into him. Now it's not Satan put in his heart. Now is Satan entered into him. And then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do it quickly. Now he said it to him. He didn't announce it to all of the rest of the disciples. He just told Judas, whatever you're going to do, just go ahead and do it quickly. Amen. Praise God. So not only was Jesus trying to declare who it was that would betray him. Amen. But above this, Jesus was letting him, Judas, know that he himself knew that he would be betrayed by him. And therefore, because Judas knew this, Jesus knew that he was going to be the one to betray him, and yet he still went ahead and did it, his iniquity was even greater. Amen. It was still in his heart, amen, to do what he wanted to do and to go out and do the intentions that he still did. Amen. Jesus, in giving him the sop and in doing what he was doing, he was also letting Judas know, I know what you're doing. I know what you're going to do. So just go ahead and do what you're doing. But he was also giving them a chance to go ahead and, hey, there's a way that you can stop what you're about to do. Amen. But I know that you're about to do this. But yet in him doing that, Judas knowing, amen, that Jesus knew, he still went out and did what he did. Amen. What a great iniquity in this hour. And that the people of this day, amen, you can present the word to them. You can present truth to them. But they'll still want to go out and do whatever's in their heart. And there's nothing that you can do about it. Not even Jesus could stop Judas, amen, from doing what he was supposed to do. So it turned now from what Satan had put in his heart in verse 2, where we read the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, to now Satan entering into Judas. Right? Now it's just full-blown iniquity now. Amen. Praise God. Jesus didn't make a fuss about it or didn't try to even stop Judas. Why? Because remember, it was so that the scriptures, the word could be fulfilled. Like he said in verse 18, he said, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Amen. So that the scripture can be fulfilled. So saints, I say this because we've been seeing people falling away for the past several years now. More than likely we'll see even more falling away. You're still going to see surprises. You're still going to have. Don't always keep in mind so that the scripture can be fulfilled. The scripture that we read in 1 Timothy there. Amen. That there will be a great falling away in the end. That has to be fulfilled. Amen. That scripture has to be fulfilled. And therefore people are fulfilling that scripture. Unknowingly. But that is what's happening. Amen. Verse 28, I'm almost done. Verse 28. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. So none of the disciples understood why Jesus told him, go do what you need to do quickly and do it quickly. They didn't understand. Here Jesus is telling them, the one that I give the sop to, that's the one that will betray me. They were they didn't even have in their thoughts that it would be Judas, that they could not see that for themselves. Jesus clearly let them all know who would betray him. Yet not one of the tables was still getting it. In verse 29, it says, for some of the disciples thought because Judas had the bag, or in other words, he kept the finances, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. And in verse 30, he then having received the sop, Judas having received the sop, went immediately out. And it was night. Amen. One of the characteristics that you will notice of people that leave this word is that when you expose them, they don't want to be around you. When you expose that, you know, they get scared. Amen. It was so in Brother Branham's ministry, amen, when he would pray for the sick, amen, and Satan was being exposed, Brother Branham would say that the people's face reactions would change. Amen. When Satan is being exposed, amen, people don't want to be around with the word, when their life is being exposed. Sometimes we'll see it here in church. Amen. When spirits are being exposed and Satan is being exposed in people's life, you'll see, something changed. And something Satan doesn't like to be exposed. That's why Brother Branham said that he hates the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation. Because he's being exposed in both of them. He hates those two books and he'll attack them. It's the same thing today. Amen. When you attack or come against that spirit, just as Jesus attacked the spirit that was controlling Judas there. Amen. What did Judas do? He immediately left. He immediately went out. And it says there that it was night. And that's what's happening in this our day. It's an evening time. Amen. It's nighttime and people are showing their true colors. Now, I say this, saints, because I'm trying to, I'm gonna leave it right here, but in the next several verses, Jesus completely now changes his of what he tells them now to something totally different now, more personal now that Judas is out. And you can read, I encourage you all to read John chapter 13 at home, but we'll continue it next time. But let me finish with these quotes Brother Branham says here. In Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy in 1965, he says, "And you know that same things promised in this last days. As Jambres and Jannes withstood Moses, so will these men of reprobate mind concerning the truth. And when an organization takes a man right down through that organization, it showed it did not come from God, because God does those things to attract the people's mind, and then the message follows it." That's what happened in Jesus' ministry. He did the miracles, gave the loaves and the fishes, amen, and after that attracted the people. But watch, when the word comes and the message is preached, the word of God is preached, that is what's going to show people's true colors. A lot of them left. They couldn't accept. The same thing in the ministry of Brother Branham in this day. Amen. People were flocked, amen, stadiums to go see people get healed. Maybe themselves get healed as well. But when the word of God was preached, and Brother Branham started laying out the word of God, amen, the doctrines of the word, they couldn't receive that. It was hard for the people to receive it. God does those things to attract the people's mind, and then the message follows it. If it isn't, then it's not God. It's not God. God always does that, Brother Branham says. Judas couldn't understand it. He walked right with him. He didn't see it. But I mean, the people today, amen, that have walked in this message, supposedly walked in this message. I mean, you thought that they had revelation and they preached some amazing things. And yet walk out and leave the word. Take down the cloud and all these things. Amen. Where is the revelation in that? It was only just something mentally. An experience that they may have had, but never it went down into their heart. Never a true experience with the word. But the real ordained of God, that real gene, that real germ, a soul of God that was in God before the foundation of the world. Remember, you that's really got the Spirit of God in you tonight, you were here in Christ because He was the fullness of the Word. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. Do you believe that? Amen. And in the Church Age book, Brother Brown says, "Now I am sure that you have noticed that those whose names were in the book of life," watch, not the Lamb's book of life, but the book of life, "were a part of the religious order of that day that centered around the true God and worship of Him. Though they did not worship according to truth word, like Judas, they didn't go all the way. See how Judas was chosen of God? He was instructed in truth." You can't say that these people did not have truth. They had truth. They just didn't continue in that truth. "He shared knowledge of the mysteries. He had a ministry of power granted unto him. And he healed the sick and cast out devils in Jesus' name. But when the showdown came, he sold out for gold and political power. He did not go up to Pentecost to receive the Spirit of God. He was devoid of the Spirit." Watch what Brother Brown says here. "Make no mistake about it. A person that is truly baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, not just baptized, amen, on the flesh, but watch, by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, receiving the fullness of the Spirit, will be in the Word all the way." We'll be in the Word all the way. That is the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Judas failed. Multitudes fail right there. And when they fail to go on in that Word, their names are taken off the book of life. Now, I didn't say it. Brother Branham was the one that said it. And the Word of God says it. Amen. The true bride of Christ in this hour, amen, will continue with all the Word. Amen. And none of these scarecrows, amen, will scare her. Oh my goodness, 80% of the people left a message. That doesn't scare me. And it shouldn't scare you, amen, if you're truly baptized into the body by the Holy Spirit, amen. That should, amen, it didn't scare Jesus, it didn't scare what he was going to do. He knew where he stood, that Judas was going to do what he was going to do. He just moved on and just let him do what he was needed to do. Let these people do what they need to do. Because why? The scripture must needs fulfilled. Amen. Now, hopefully next time, we'll continue with this, but we'll talk about, we'll intertwine it now with the commandment, amen, of what, of the Lord and, of what Jesus was speaking there in, I forgot the title of our message here. The law of Christ, amen, in order to advance the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. You love him? Amen. Let's just sing that song real quick. I love him because he first loved me. Let's just stand to our feet. Hope, trust that you received something. Amen. I encourage you all to just look into this yourself. Amen. Yeah. Look into it yourself. Let God reveal this to you and see how this so parallels with what's going on in our day. And because it was in the Word already, it should not take us by surprise, although it does. Amen. And unfortunately, we're here. Amen. But God said in His Word that He will have a bride without spot or wrinkle. Amen. And I believe that with all my heart. Let that be you. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for allowing us, Lord, to hear your Word, Lord. Open back the pages of your Word, Father, and trust, Lord Jesus, that the people, Father God, listening in and those here, Father, receive something, Lord, that would spark a thought in their heart or something, Lord God, that would encourage them to move on, Lord God. How we thank you, Father, that your Word is so perfect. And Lord, how it fits in so exact, Lord. There is no mistakes in your Word whatsoever. No matter contrary to what the world says, no matter what the atheist says, Father God, your Word does not contradict itself. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that we have this Word in our day. Lord Jesus, we pray that that Word, Father, be in us. And Lord, that it would change us, Father, from the inside out, Lord God. And Lord, to be more like you, Lord. To be, Father God, to act and to live and to think and to say, to talk the way you did, Lord God. Lord, help us, Father God. And Lord, it will not just do that, Lord, but it will also will help us to love one another, Lord God. To love our enemies so much, Lord Jesus, that we would even pray for them. And that we would even bless our enemies, Lord. And do good to those that would do harm to us, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would help us, Father, in this hour. Lord, go with your people, Father, as they're heading out, Lord. And bless those, Father, watching online. And Lord, may you continue to be with the saints, Lord God, there in the Philippines, the family, Brother Royal, Lord, and the saints there at the church, Lord. And we just ask that you would continue to be with all those that are sick still amongst us. Continue to raise them up, strengthen their bodies, Lord. Finish that healing in them, Lord, that you purchased for them on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for the good news, Lord, that we've heard and the good reports that we have heard, Lord. Even the report that we heard of Brother Mike Olteague, Father. And also Brother Ben Narod, Lord, how he's back home. Lord, we just thank you for all those things, Father. And we appreciate you, Lord God. Lord, bless us now. We commit ourselves into your hands now. And we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. Let's just sing the song, I Love Him, I Love Him. Sing a stanza of it or two, and then you may be dismissed.
I love him. I love love Him because He first loved me.